Hey guys, Keith and I are doing this together. I think it's going to be fun. I want to introduce Keith. Most of you know Keith Cook. Keith and Joan are wonderful friends of ours. They've been mentors. They came at a time in our life. We haven't known them as many years as some of you have, but for Vicki and I, we started out our life just briefly. I was a Southern Baptist kid from North Carolina, squirrely little kid that moved to South Dakota when I was in high school, and she was a Norwegian Lutheran. And so I met her. We came to know the Lord closer, and he became real to us together after we were married, and ended up going to a Bible-believing church together, and have been on this journey. And the journey has included owning a business together for 13 years, and then for 20 years after that, being in ministry together. And it's been a great journey, but part of what's kept us even in the journey is NGA and friends like Keith and Joan. And as I understand it, Keith's been to over 40 countries, maybe more than that. And Keith has done festivals, little gatherings, and events all over the United States. We did what I guess became the largest free Christian music festival in the United States in South Dakota. We did it for 20 years. And then 2 years ago, one year ago, was our last festival, the 20th festival, our last massive festival in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Because we felt like God said to us, it's time to actually go small, not big. It's time for you to go to other locations. So currently our ministry is going to the smaller communities throughout the Midwest. My son-in-law actually has a goal to do 50 festivals all over the nation. And then Vicki and I are doing more international things. 85. He's been in 85 countries. That's okay. Your bio says 40, but it's 85 and counting, maybe more. And I've been in a few of those countries with him. So, hey, before we start today, and there's some scriptures up there. I'm going to let Keith share those scriptures, and I just want to share something else about an experience this morning and last night.
Well, the word of the Lord says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. Isn't that great? Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. Amen. In wrath, remember mercy.
Amen.
Boy,
Amen.
If that does not sound like what we need today and what we find ourselves in today, especially as modern day communicators of the gospel, we need to claim this prayer and get out there and get before the Lord and get where he wants us to be. It's we no longer can say, this is something that we're going to grow out of, or the church will be enlightened out of this. No, we've been at this for a long time, and we've seen what's going on, and we have realized that God needs to come down and bring revival, or we're not going to see the transformation we long to see. In Jeremiah 29:7, the Bible says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city. I wish he'd said the church or the evangelist, but he didn't. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I've had a lot of people tell me in our ministry, just to heck with the city. To heck with the city. Just let it, implode. But we can't do that as evangelists. We're called to the city. We're called to the rural. We're called across the street and around the world. And we must be doing that.
Amen. So we need revival. We need revival in our cities. Vicki's going to pass out. You're going to have every slide that we have here. And we've come up with what we call 10 keys to citywide transformation. Now, this isn't some textbook thing from a classroom. I mean, there may be more than 10, or maybe you have citywide transformation with less than that. But we do think that these are 10 very important keys for citywide transformation in relation to doing an event. But while she's passing those out, before we go to the next slide, I want to segue for a minute, because here's the deal.
Good.
Yeah, the Lord has just, given me good. This. And it's maybe for me, but I want to share it with you so maybe you can hold me accountable. We're talking about city transformation, but transformation in our cities, it's not about going through a list of steps. It starts with us. It starts with us, guys. In the book of Acts 17, and you guys know this scripture, but I'm always so reminded of it. In Acts 17, it says, and these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. They're talking about Jason, who they had just dragged in the prison. And then they said, these people who have turned the world upside down have now come into our city. What would it be like if over at the Marriott, they said, oh, it's those Jesus people again. Yeah, they're always talking about Jesus. Yeah, at a High Point Church, we know about them. And, oh, that Amplify, we know what that is. But I'm concerned that that's maybe not the case. Last night I went down into the business office to make these copies. I had to go online to my Gmail and get the attachment and find out how to make the printer work. And a young man at the desk there named Kevin. And so I said, hey, Kevin, can you help me? I'm kind of an old guy and I'm used to a Mac and this. So he came and helped me out. And I said, I'm going to need some copies. And he said, no problem. I got them for you. I just bill them to my room. He said, no charge. Anyway, I made the copies. I went back to the desk and I said, hey, Kevin, you know, there's a lot of conventions. There's something going on here. Yeah, there's a new one tonight, and there's a wedding. There's lots of weddings going on and this stuff. And I said, well, we've been across the street, and then some of us here, we're part of Amplify. You know what? Do you know what that is? I mean, it's Amplify and High Point Church, and I don't have any idea. He says, I don't know what's going on. I said, well, I know what it's about. I said, I'm part of it. I said, we're there because we've been here the last few days, a group of us from here and around the world, learning how to tell people and communicate people to the words of Jesus and what Jesus said. So, I mean, has anybody told you about that? And he said, no, they don't tell us anything. He said, I just work here. I don't know. And it reminded me of last year, because last year when I was here on the last day, I got ready to leave, and I talked to a young man at the desk, and I said, hey, I want to tell you, you're doing a great job. And I learned his story. He was in college, but this was a transition thing. And I said, can you tell me about Amplify? And he starts getting the book out and running through the notebook, and he goes, I think it's, was that like an electronics conference or something? I said, no, it's not. Let me tell you what it's about. And as I shared with Kevin this morning, I gave him a little track. Then I gave him a funny thing with a $1 million bill with, you've seen them, they're kind of hokey, but everybody loves them. And I said, this is not real. If I could give you $1 million, I would, but the truth of the Bible is on the back of it. And I asked him some questions. Hey, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life? And he told me, and I said, well, can I tell you the best thing that's happened to me? And I shared my testimony really quick, but it convicted me. It convicted me because people are working all around us, and we're here learning about how to tell people about Jesus. And the world's not going to be won to Christ through the paid professionals. It's not going to be won because of our large events. It's going to be won by regular men and women who just have so much passion for the lost that they can't help but tell people about it. And so I leave you with that because it also reminds me, as we get ready to go on the next slides, the good friend of mine in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, when I go back there, Craig Lawrence, for years, was the development director that sat right alongside Bill Bright. And whenever I get together with Craig, he's always an encouragement to me. He's always encouraging me. Oh, you got great events, Alan. It's good. And you guys are going all over the world. You know, how about your daily walk with the Lord? You know, are you sharing Christ? And he said, I'll always be reminded of when I was with Bill Bright. And he said, we got to go to the White House. We're going to see Ronald Reagan. And he says, we pull up in the cab to go see Reagan, and we jump out, and I go, we got to go. Bill, we got to go. I mean, we don't want to be late. We certainly don't want to be late for seeing the president. And he said, Bill turned and looked at me. He said, just a minute. This most important thing going on right now is I'm talking to this cab driver. I'm sharing Christ with him. So we'll get there, but let me just finish this. So that was it always stuck with me. And so this is maybe to convict me. Maybe you can, as you leave here, as we go apply what we've learned. Maybe you can email me and say, hey, Alan, I shared Christ with somebody today, or I shared Christ or trained people to do that. What are you doing? And so I say that just so it holds us all accountable to the mission. And the mission is much bigger than our events. Hey, the next slide you have is opportunities for citywide events. The real gospel. It's the gospel that truly changes things. It's only the gospel. We know that Jesus changes everything, and it's only through Jesus that our communities are going to be changed. The real power is the truth of God's word. We know that nothing we say, or no matter how articulate we are, that real change only comes when it's God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Real revival. You can be part of affecting culture for generations to come. And I believe now is the time, as we've heard from our previous speakers, now's the time for an awakening and a revival. 92% of Americans say they believe in God. People just like these guys working at the hotel, that the waitress or the desk worker or anybody that we encounter that we can start a conversation with, usually they're open to having us pray with them and share the good news of Jesus. Real results. reveal who God is to them, and help them find their way back to God. This guy at the desk said, yeah, I did. I asked him the question. He said, yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I knew about Jesus, but when I went to college, he said, I drifted away. And so he said, I'm in transition in this job. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I gave him the gospel. So next, keys to citywide transformation. Number one, prayer. We know it's about prayer. We know, as the late Billy Graham, we know the story that people in Charlotte, North Carolina were praying. They were pleading with God that God would raise someone up. Billy Graham gets saved and revival starts. But it started because of prayer. Many, many prayers of people who for years were praying. I remember an experience at a missions conference. And this was about some folks going, some pastors going over to Japan. And he was telling this story about being there. In the book of Nehemiah, you know, he says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Nehemiah was weeping over his cities. For some days I mourned and fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven. I was at this missions conference, and he was telling the story, and he said, we're all praying. We're praying for the city. We're praying for the nation of Japan. And he said, everybody's praying, and then it's quiet. And he said, and I wonder, what is that? What's that sound? I kept hearing this, just like a drip, something. And he goes, and I looked up, and all the Japanese were weeping. They were just, it was their tears hitting the concrete floor because they're weeping for their city. They're weeping for their nation. So I asked you, when's the last time that you wept for your city and your community?
And about that transformation, the prayer aspect, and it's not just us praying for the city. It's also us getting close to God and hearing from God ourselves. When I was, I can remember going one time with one of my associates in ministry, and we were going to meet this icon of the faith, a prayer missionary to China, a lady who had just been used of God mightily. Her name was Bertha Smith, a pioneer. She had stood in front of the Japanese, and they tried to kill her, and they shot her. I mean, like seven guys lined up to shoot her, and all their bullets got to within an inch of her, and they all dropped to the ground. Just a fantastic woman of God. I'd read her story, and I thought, oh, I want to meet this woman. I want to get close to this woman. I want some of her spirit to, you know, pour out on me. And I knocked on the door of her house. I went all the way across country to meet her. And when I pulled up, I went up there, David and I, my associate, knocked on the door, and Miss Bertha opened the door. And I said, Miss Bertha, I'm here. I was trying to go into the house like an evangelist always tries to, you know, get our foot in the door. And she goes, wait a minute. She says, are all your sins confessed up to date? And I said, what? She goes, are all your sins confessed up to date? And I said, well, Miss Bertha, I hope so. I really don't know. And she goes, well, wait a minute. Don't you think as a man who's going to change the world in Jesus' name and someone who speaks the word of God as from God, you should? I said, well, I guess so, Miss Bertha. And she handed me a little piece of carpet, a carpet square. And she said, I got a prayer garden right over there. When you get right with God, you can come in my house. What we're doing in trying to transform cities, it takes transformed people. And the only way that we can get transformed is to let God on the inside of us. Because when we get transformed by God, the hate speech goes away. When we get transformed by God, our insensitivities and our strutty, haughty spirit goes away. So before we can transform the city, we must be transformed. Because we don't need to take into the city and try to help the city be what we are in our sin. Amen or oh me? We need to take a transformed church into the transformed city. A key to transforming a city, I hope it's up there. Number two is vision and dreams. We need to make sure that we have a vision for our city. Does your vision for your city include you and others? The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 17, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I think it's time for old men to start dreaming some dreams. Amen. And young men and women to get visions from God. You know, God, we've learned this week, and I love one of our speakers was talking about, it's more It's more than an event, what we're trying to do. In Transforming Cities, it's not us just doing one event after another. It's a movement. Does God want to have a movement in your city that brings the gospel to every person, that reaches every aspect, every strata of your culture? It's a mission that matters. We always tell our folks and our friends that we're talking with and ministering with, it's time for us to earn the right to be heard. And once we've earned the right to be heard, stand up and say something. You know, we're always trying to re-earn the right, and we never actually say something that matters once we've earned the right. Once people love us and respect us and know that we come to the table in an honest, humble way, we need to then tell them the truth that we know that they may not. Because we listen to them when they tell us how to reach the urban areas, when they tell us how to reach the poor, when they tell us how to care for the sick. We're there with our ears ready, our hearts open to work with them. But now it's time for us to make sure that we are a part of sharing our vision and dream for taking the gospel into the whole world and the whole city. It also helps if you have a written plan on how you can do this. A written plan, a dream, a vision that's written out. Like Habakkuk said, it's plain, it's obvious. Everybody can run with it. You see, we don't just need to go out there and tell them what we hope and what we might do, but what God has told us must be done. And that's very plain and simple. It's simple to diagram. It's simple to chart it out if you take the time to do that. And we can't just say, oh, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Because nowadays, how many of you know they don't? They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue.
Number three, there's 10 points here. Strive for unity and network in your city. You know, evangelists bring unity to the city. They convey a passion for the gospel. And sometimes when you walk into churches, senior pastors are desperately wanting that somebody that would have a passion for the gospel for the city. Remind the church of the basics, keeping the main thing the main thing. And as we've been so well taught, Ephesians 4:11 says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? For the equipping of the body of Christ and the saints. Unity is difficult. It really is. I mean, most of your cities are probably similar. Getting churches to work together is very difficult. Getting nonprofits to work together is difficult. But even if you've got a few, you know, these smaller festivals that we're doing, I went to a city in Iowa once. My son-in-law had a meeting set up, a luncheon. And on the way down, I was saying, Josh, this is our opportunity to say, well, this is not your time. We're not going to do a festival here because I'm not seeing enough unity among the churches. Well, when we got there, there were four pastors at this luncheon. This is a really small town. There's maybe only 10 or 11 churches in the whole town. And those pastors were so passionate. They said, look, we're together. We've been praying for this. We can't get the other guys involved yet. But if we do this thing, they'll jump on board. I know they will. So we said, yes, you go ahead. Two or more gathered, Jesus is in the middle. Unity is a multiplier. John 17:21. We know Jesus' prayer is that we would be one so that the world would know. Matthew 18:20, it's our command. And we should know all these verses, obviously, as followers of Jesus and as evangelists. The Great Commission. Invite everyone to come to your event. You know, evangelists are misunderstood sometimes. Billy Graham was the master because they said, why is he working with these guys? And why are these guys here? Because what we present from stage is the truth of the gospel. We want everybody to hear. So invite them all to come to your event. Becoming all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. Number four, it's imperative that you communicate with the church. You know, this has been an evolution for me over the years because after 20 years, of doing a massive festival in the same city, things changed. Some senior pastors left. I was still the old guy, but a lot of younger pastors came in. And so my vision, my original call to the pastors was with a group of pastors that some of them were no longer in the pulpit in their churches. So you have to stay fresh. But you have to build bridges with pastors. And the only way I know to do that, you can have luncheons, you can have gatherings. But it is best if you go sit down face to face with a few of the key senior pastors and you humbly share your heart with them for your city. Because most of them want the same thing. It's just they feel overwhelmed. And so what I would suggest is try to get inside the head of the pastor and minister to him, regardless of whether he accepts your event. Go there with the intention of ministering to him and understanding, trying to understand from his perspective the challenges that he must face. Because I can tell you that pastors right now in any church all across America, they feel overwhelmed. They feel overworked and overwhelmed, and they feel like if they open up, and many of them do to me, they said, you don't understand the dysfunction within my own church, with the body that even calls themselves believers, and the perversion and the stuff that's going on. And at any moment, I've got some issue to handle, and some of them are ridiculous issues from our standpoint, but the pastor is having to handle them. And the last thing he wants is somebody coming in saying, I need more of your volunteers, and I need your money, and I need your time. But if we can minister to him and say, we're there alongside you, and we only want to work with, through, and for the local church, then I think you'll see some pastors that'll want to jump on board. Number five, go out of your way to build a team. I've had people call me and said, hey, you do this massive festival in South Dakota, and you had like the Newsboys and Mercy Me and Toby Mac and all these great bands. And I said, yes, and we had evangelists. And I start naming them because it's about proclaiming the gospel. But they'll say, we want to do something in our city. And I'll go, what's your budget? Well, $30,000. I said, well, the bands you just named were like $200,000 just for all of them. And it's not about the bands. But then I ask them about their team. I said, who's on your team? You have a vision from God. You have a dream. That's great. Who's on your team? Well, right now it's just me. And, that's not going to work. You've got to build a team. You've got to build a team that will be with you. You have to build a team and appoint person in charge of each area. And only then can you kind of proceed, because you can't go it alone. You'll get discouraged. Number six. And we're going to move quickly through these because we want to leave some time at the end. But find multiple ways to serve the city. And there's no better way than to check out City Gospel Movements, which Kevin Palau and that team has done so That's well. I mean, it's like, okay, we have Serve the City and City Serve and then an event and some affinity events around it.
Some of the things that we've done, Alan and I have worked together in almost 10 countries and a lot of cities here in the United States, some of them small, some of them big. But one of the components that we always do is we really do try to serve and help people that have needs in the community. We don't want to go in and make people feel like all we care about is getting you into heaven and we don't care about your needs or your troubles. The church needs to be the church all across the strata of the whole city. And some of the things that we've done in small ways, we have a department in our ministry called Go Care, where we try to go and care for people, help them wherever they are. And so we take Go Care teams out into the neighborhoods in conjunction with the projects that we do. And in a lot of places where we go, the Go Care teams go on way beyond the event, way beyond the outreaches. Quarterly, monthly, sometimes weekly, people are going out and caring and serving the city, the big things that you do in massive urban areas. Those ministries go on way and long after the festival is over. The festival is just the tip of the iceberg that gets the church together, and they get to see these needs. They get to see the opportunity. They find out about how to share their faith, and they get to bring their friends. And that's a great way to launch a season of service in your cities and in your communities. Some of the things that we try to focus on, you don't have to call it Serve the City. You don't have to call it Go Care. You can do whatever you want to do, but what you're basically doing is you're finding acts of kindness that the church can do to help people. The thing that most evangelists and most churches are accused of doing when we do outreach is we sort of blow in, blow up, and blow out. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be that. I had a younger leader back when I went through Leighton Ford's Arrow program for younger leaders. I had a young leader stick his finger in my face and says, Keith Cook, I know exactly what people like you do. And I go, whoa, what do people like me do? And he goes, you guys come in here and think you got the latest, greatest answer to do everything, but then you'll do your project, you'll do your crusade, you'll do your festival, and then we'll never see you again. And I said, you work in the inner city, don't you? And he says, yes, sir, I do, and I've seen people just like you every single week come in and use us and abuse us and hit the road when it's all done. I said, well, I'll make this commitment to you. I said, when I go back to Nashville, I will promise you that we're going to dig in deep and we will earn the right to do it other places because we're going to do it in Nashville right. And it's been 20 years since I was in that younger leaders class, and we're still in loving our cities, helping our city of Nashville, and doing acts of kindness. We didn't blow in, blow up, and blow out. But it took a young urban evangelist to get in my face and say, who do you think you are coming here to tell us how to do work in the city? God wants us to serve the city, and we can serve Him.
Number seven, the business community. Now, this really is an overlooked area. I know that in most cases, your largest supporters are going to be individuals, just generous individuals. But most of those folks either run businesses, they've been very successful in their jobs. A lot of them are CEOs. So same advice here as with the church. Go sit down with the business owner. Sit down face to face to him and talk to him. Tell him that you're praying for him. It's been a little easier for me since I used to own a business, even though it was a small business. Because the first thing I say to them is I say to the business guy, I said, I bet the average person has no idea what you go through on a daily basis. All the decisions that you have to make and that you wanted to put family first, but right now on your desk is a stack of things that you got to handle and you might not get out of here at 5 o'clock today. And they're right there. And I said, you're a Christian following Christ and you want to find a way to serve Him. Boy, there is no better way for a business guy to feel like he's doing ministry than to get involved in a large scale event like a festival. They feel like, oh, I've not found a way to really use my resources or my talents and abilities in my local church, but a festival event, it is a perfect way for businesses to be involved. So, again, I even tell them, you know, you are the church. We have a car dealership in our town, and they do phenomenal things for the city in terms of service projects and giveaways and things, Christian causes that they give to. But I say, you are the church. You're the new church. People listen more to the business leaders than they do the church sometimes. So I think there's a huge potential for corporate sponsor type things for events if you find the guys that are Christians that are CEOs or owners of those businesses.
Number eight. The thing about transforming a city, as we get transformed, we help transform. Light attracts light, and God wants to do something in our cities. How many of you have worked in the city, in a city that's a sizable size, you know, pretty big city? Any of you? Yeah. The problems are massive, aren't they? And I'm sure you could tell me, and I know Matt could. Matt works here in Chicago, north of here, right, a little bit. And some of the problems every month he'll call me and tell me, wow, we're facing this. And they're like problems. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, that I don't live in the north side of Chicago because there's some massive, massive issues. But at the same time, he said, but listen to what we're doing. And he starts telling me, we're doing this. And I'm saying, wow, visions, dreams. They're just flowing like a river. And now I'm thinking, okay, Matt, please invite me up here to be in on some of the stuff you're doing because it's fantastic what God's doing in Chicago. But the key to doing this, I think, as you start trusting the church and as you start trusting the business and as you start getting your visions and your dreams, you will realize that you can now step out and trust other people that are doing the same kind of thing you're doing. Trust and include other nonprofits and ministries in what you're trying to do. Always expand your tent. Work with other people. You can. We really are better together. Say it with me. We are better together. One more time. We are better together. And it takes work to work with and identify other nonprofits that share your vision. And sometimes they will share a portion of your vision. Like a lot of times, you know, you'll have to partner and work with people that they don't know about this evangelist stuff, but they do know people are hungry. They don't know about this teaching people how to share their faith, but boy, they sure are with you in trying to bring resources together to get people together to strategize and plan on how we can reach the people that have real needs in their community. So work on identifying other nonprofits and try to figure out why would God have you right here, right now? I mean, Alan and I have figured out that we can do a lot better together. And we've gone around the world and he'll have a project and or something that he's doing. He'll say, hey, Keith, can you come? And I go, yeah. And I'll have something going on. Like we're going to Pakistan together. And I said, buddy, I'll do this if you'll do it. And so we agree to do certain things together. And it's so much more fun because it's not about our ego. It's not about our branding. It's about him. It's about the Lord. And God wants us to find ways to include others in what we're doing. Some of the things that we have been able to do is include the motorcycle ministries, the people that ride motorcycles. You want to reach men? Get some motorcycle persons, guys and gals to come in. The hardcore, the guys with tattoos and big muscles, you know, they're not preacher types. You talk about revolutionizing some of your outreaches. It brings protection. It brings a little clarity, brings a little focus. We've gone to the cowboys. We've gone to people with compassion. We've gone into senior adult ministries and got them involved. You talk about bringing a peace and a tranquil spirit to an area that's troubled. Get some of your seniors out working and volunteering and young people helping them to volunteer. You know, it just brings transformation when we work together. And also, kids. Kids are the most untapped resource we have in the city. We need to train our children at ages 12, 13, 14, and 15 how to do the work of God and give them outreaches and experiences that they can really do. Because they are energetic, they're not afraid, they're fired up, and they really can do something. Our ministry is not a known for being a social ministry. We're an evangelistic association, but when Nashville flooded, we Samaritan's Purse put us at the crossroads because our office was 7,000 square feet, and we were right on a high area, and we became a staging area for teams to go out, because while we're not known for sending out teams into the city to do social work, we were known for sending teams out around the world to do missions. And so they knew we could handle it, and so they started sending us teams to take water into the cities, into the area where, and it was the gathering places, and radio stations from up north, up here, Chicago area, they put out this massive call, and Matt, were you with us then when all this water, our whole parking lot was full of nothing but water, and it was amazing what God did when they brought all the water in, and we were able to get it out into the city. So we are better together, and we need to get some creative ways to get other nonprofits to help us.
Thank you, Keith. And nonprofits, let's just face it, sometimes they can appear to be, we can appear to be as nonprofits, more competitive than churches or the business world. But it's still, you got to sit with them and say, this, we need to work together. It's worth it. It might be hard. Collaboration might be hard, but it's worth it. Working with government, you know, some people are like, why are we got nothing to do with the government. We're separate. We'll just do our event. But if you're doing an event in your city, you need to involve the government, and you need to go see the mayor. You need to meet with city council. You need to meet with those kinds of people. Many times, someone from your organization, if not you, has to meet with them to get permits and permission and so forth. So it's always good to be on a good relationship with them. And if, you know, if Kevin Pillau in the book Unlikely, I would recommend reading that. If they can do it in Portland, then we can do it anywhere in America. And, you know, I went to our mayor and I showed a little PowerPoint. I actually showed the Portland Festival and the video with that. And then I asked him, but I couldn't help but kind of set them up. I said, you know, what does New York City, Portland, Phoenix, Minneapolis, even Little Rock, Arkansas, and hey, even like Rapid City, South Dakota. What do they all have in common? And I said, they've done a massive event in the city. They've done something together in the city. And I said, we're here to bless the city. We had a bad experience last year because our city is pretty proud of the fact that under the last administration, they said, we want to be progressive. And they read a proclamation at the Gay Pride event, but they didn't do any proclamation for us. They made it difficult for us. Either way, we decided to not be like an argumentative force. We just said, you know, we're just going to bless the city. We're going to let them see the results of our event. But you always want to be in a position of being viewed that you're not really asking for anything. You're there to bless the city. And so it has turned out now that in our city there's a new mayor, but the existing police chief and the other folks, they love what we do. They love the fact that the body of Christ would come together to reach each other and work together.
Number 10.
That's 8. I got to go. I went back.
Okay. Number 10. Yeah, use the media. Use the media. Use the media. It's important that we work with the media to maximize our events and our outreaches and our ministries. And we're talking about every media outlet that you have, newspaper, radio, television, social media. It's important, and we've learned this, if we've learned one thing, we need to develop a communication publications timeline where everything is gridded, because what you'll find yourself doing is waiting till the end, and then you're throwing all this stuff, and you haven't built relationships, you don't know who they are, and you're just throwing it at them, and then they don't do it, and you're mad, and you're bitter, and you blame the media for your lack of success. It's important for us to have a plan. You need to know when every article, every press release, every TV ad, when they're being produced, when they need to be produced, who's doing them, who's getting it ready, who do you want interviewed. You need to have all that stuff laid out in advance. So it takes a team to make the dream work. It really does. And also, we think that a communications thing, what message do you want to get out? And that's the final paragraph down there. It says, what is the key message you're wanting to communicate for every week of the media? Your social media sites, your emails, your letters, your texts, your business leaders, churches, volunteers, contributors. Because sometimes we blow an unclear trumpet. You know, so if you're starting out, you're not really going to be talking about the dates of the festival or the mission or the outreach or the city serve. You need to be talking to leaders. Leaders, we need you to come together. That needs to be your message. We're trying to find every leader that has a passion for the city. And that needs to be your focus. Now, you may be raising funds underneath, but you're focusing in everything, all your social media, all your communications, talking about we're looking for leaders, we're looking for partners, we're looking for the. And then as you move into the training phase, everything should be talking about training. And then as you move into the mobilization, it's about mobilization. So you're blowing a clear trumpet and you're a part of a team that's actually trying to do something instead of just doing a shotgun kind of thing and just hoping that it's going to stick somewhere. So make sure you use the media. And that means you got to trust them, know them. They trust you. You know, it's important. I'm not going to go political here, but you do need to use the media that you have in your city and try to work with them.
Right. Yeah, along with that, Keith, you know, it's our experience because we've always been in a position of not being able to afford enough media for the event. I, again, though, would say put more money, if you can, into the pre-event rather than the event, promoting it. And look for free publicity. That's kind of what we always did. It needs to be organic. And, you know, in our office now we have, you know, my son-in-law and the millennials, and they'll go, well, we posted it on Facebook and Instagram, and we tweeted it. And I'm like, yeah, but you got hardly anybody's looking at that. Have you looked at the numbers? It's got to be organic. Sometimes it's still back to the old school handbills and people passing them out. I mean, my wife goes so far as she goes to the drive-up window at McDonald's, and she goes, hey, have you heard of this? Can I give you one of these? It's your free ticket. I mean, but those things work. If it's organic and if you get free publicity out of your newspaper and your media, which sometimes they're willing to do a story if you'll just ask. And so look for the free publicity. We're kind of down to, you know, we have 10 areas, 10 keys to citywide transformation, but we know the results and what we're going after. The results are salvation, people coming to Christ, new life, and anyone in Christ is a new creation, and we passionately believe that as evangelists, so we need to keep that the center and keep sounding that alarm. Discipleship opportunities. We always get asked the question, you guys know it, for evangelists, say, what are you doing about follow-up and discipleship? Well, we first got to proclaim the gospel for that to happen, and then this gives people an incredible opportunity to do that. And to have a biblical worldview. Unity in the local church. You know, I love it when Luis stands up every time and he goes, when God sees the church, he sees one church, many congregations. And you keep sounding that in your community. And we have seen incredible things happen when the body of Christ is unified. Unity among the churches, the business community, the nonprofit community, and even city leaders. We see God do incredible things. Serving people. We talk about Matthew 25 and unto the least of these. And when Jesus asked that question, that there's an opportunity through a large-scale event for an atmosphere of volunteerism. And what you'll find with large events is there's many, many, many people in churches who just haven't found a way to plug into the church. They don't want to work the nursery or the greeter, but maybe they have skills as carpenters or as hardworking guys, and this events give them an opportunity to do that.
Number five, it starts gospel-centered conversations. I tell you what, when God starts moving in churches and outreach and things start happening, people start getting saved, people start getting blessed, healed, delivered, cared for. When we see these acts of kindness going out there, when people are working together, you have stories to tell. And people leave church and they go about their life, their daily life, they go to work, they're excited, and they start talking about the things of God. And if you give the Holy Spirit just any entrance into a conversation, and you go there by faith, God will use that and explode your outreach and explode your ministry. So it starts, a massive event that you do, a united campaign really does help start thousands and thousands of gospel-centered conversations. And we do need that. The gloom and doom is good for, you know, maybe selling newspapers and getting you on CNN, but it is not good for a city. It really isn't. We need some good news, and we have the message that's really going to help do that. A result that we also have is life-changing decisions. When that happens, when people's lives are changed and people get spiritually better, guess what? Everybody notices it. When I was at church and got saved, I was a pagan little boy when I went to church. But when I came home, even my mother realized, what's wrong with you? You know, when things start happening, change starts happening, lives start being transformed by the power of the gospel, people start noticing. And also, when you work in these kind of things, every city that we go into, every country that we go into, every neighborhood we go into, we meet people and we form bonds. We were in Spartanburg, South Carolina, a couple of weeks ago, and did an outreach there, a citywide event. And I tell you what, there were some folks there. I mean, that little old place, we thought, what can God do here? And God came down, and we made some friends. And I tell you what, if Nashville ever kicks me out, I may head over to Spartanburg. It's good to know that we built some lasting friendships. And I can remember there's some electricians. I helped a Billy Graham festival that came to Nashville. I was on the committee. And some of these people, the business people that were on this committee, I did not have a clue that the largest plumber in Nashville was a believer. I didn't know the largest electrician corporation in Nashville were believers. I had no idea, but I sat beside them in committee meetings. And now we're friends for life. It's amazing. I didn't have a clue, but God just blessed me. And that's what these kind of things do. And there's also an economic impact. And I know Alan's got something to say here, that when Christ moves in and the church moves in and starts moving, God does bless the city, even economically.
Well, you know, the reason we do events, the reason all of you do things isn't because of the economic impact. It's because of the impact on souls and people. And, you know, business guys, we used to do corporate sponsor fundraising. And, you know, I stole this from one of our friends, Scott Dawson. They say, well, what about the ROI, return on investment? He says, I can tell you about the realization of impact, ROI, realization of impact. It's on souls that are saved. But there is an impact in your city, and we shouldn't minimize it. When you do a large-scale event, our state, the state tourism director in South Dakota, you know, South Dakota's largest event was known as which is still the Harley Davidson or the motorcycle rally on 350 miles away from us, which their success was, well, only 9 people died this year and we had, I don't know how many drug arrests, but it's still, you know, it's a great event. But for us, the tourism director said that the Life Light Festival, which drew hundreds of thousands of people, was a $53 million impact for our state. So, I mean, that grabs people's attention in government, and now they're asking the question about why we stopped doing it, because we had been taken for granted. So you do need to find out, and there's a way to kind of figure, okay, what would something like this do for our city, the economic impact, as well as the impact on souls, and then share that with government leaders.
Okay. Well, we're down to the last part here. Here's some challenges that we have, and we do face a lot of challenges in trying to do the things that we've been talking about.
We're going to list a bunch of challenges. We're going to go through them quick because we want to leave time for you guys to also have some discussion questions. But engaging mega churches, you know, we were in a smaller market. Our city is about 200,000 people right now. But we have now also run into what we call the mega church mentality. Some of those churches have their own programs, and they're kind of like silos. They've kind of like, we do our own thing. We can actually pay for those bands ourselves and have them at our church. That's difficult, but that is a challenge. Leadership in those churches, sometimes they're already over-programmed. Resources from businesses, much larger corporations, you call on a business and they go, well, I don't have anything to do with this because our corporate headquarters is in New York City or Atlanta, not your city. So that it's harder. And those are some of the challenges.
And we also have challenges finding volunteers and people motivating them to help. Luis Palau has changed. They don't look for counselors per se. They look for friends of the festival. Our ministry, we call ours Go Friends. We're looking for friends to help us. And so people who help us. Every board member, every committee member, every pastor, every volunteer, everyone that's working at our festivals, we call them Go Friends. They're all trained the same. They all know how to share their faith, and they know about every need of the festival. So if anything breaks down, any one of them can jump in and help. So we're all wearing the same hat, the same t-shirts. We're all on the same team. But it's hard and challenging to do that because people's time is so limited. So what we do, we break everything down in about 2-hour blocks. If we have a 10-hour festival during a day, we give everybody about 2 hours worth of responsibility so they can still bring friends and still be a part of their church's activities at the festival or whatever is going on, so they can have some joy, not just work.
Building God's kingdom together is worth it, and may we glorify God in all we do. If God's called you to do something, step out in faith. You know, as if we had all the money to do it, then it wouldn't be called faith.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you to step out in faith and do it. And we have about 12, 15 minutes left here. And we also on those handouts gave a whole page of what we considered, questions or challenge or tips and advice. So the last part of tips is start somewhere, right?
Yeah,
just do it. I like the Nike approach sometimes as Christians. We just do it. You're called to do it. Don't let fear or the devil distract you. Have a passion for the gospel. You may be the only one who has a vision from God to do what needs to be done in your community, but if he's laid it on your heart, give it your best effort and run for the battle. We've given you some resources. Obviously, you can connect with me. Also, I have a book. Vicki, if you can hand me that real quick. I don't have enough of these here, but I'd like to give one of my books to everybody here. If you just hand us your business card, we'll send you the book. Keith has a website there, On the Go, that's listed, and also Next Generation Alliance. We'd love to hear from you and take your questions. At this point, so I don't want to be guilty of what Vic Murphy and my son-in-law were in Washington, D.C. last year, and there was a conference with a bunch of evangelists, and Vic Murphy draws a little cartoon, and this is a guy that's frantic with his hair going all this way, and Vic said, this is the timekeeper at an evangelist conference. So so you had two evangelists up here.
Yep.
We do want to leave some time for questions and discussions. There's a whole list of them there. And so we'll just right now take questions from you guys.
Right. We want the questions that you have today. These questions, they're at the end of your notes. These are some things, if you would please do this for us, when you get back home, if you could just sort of answer these questions for us and send them to us, it really will help us. These are key things you think that we really don't want to hear. We want to hear. We want to know what you think because you're the experts, because you're in the cities. You know what's going on. So, but what are your questions now that maybe have come to your mind as you've been sitting there?
Okay, Christian business leaders, how to identify them. You know, in a lot of, most cities, there's, a crew has a businessman's thing called Priority and Associates or some other names. Find, and there's many others, Christian businessmen's, find those guys where they maybe meet for Bible studies, that are the Christian businessmen. And then word of mouth, if you start asking them, you'll find some of who they are and, who's given. There's probably resources too that you can go, and find those companies that, you know, have given to benevolent causes in your community.
We take, whatever list we can get off the internet or, you know, the phone book or whatever, and we literally just make a list of every business in the area we're going into. And we give it to a team, and they pray, start praying for these guys, and then they divide up all the business leaders into groups, and then we have 10 to 20 businessmen themselves that start going to those business people and talking to them on behalf of what we're doing. And so, 'cause businessman to businessman is a little easier than evangelist to business.
Right. Maybe you have a board member that would go call on them, but also on the websites. I mean, everybody knows the major ones. You go, okay, we know Chick-fil-A. We know they have a corporate philosophy, so we'll go talk to them. But you'll go on websites and you can see some of the things that that company has given to for community, you know, community nonprofits.
Good question.
Sure, that's good. That's a good question.
Oh, that's
what things
most...
do we hire professional services and outsource versus trying to do ourselves?
You may be the most spiritual person in this room. It really does take networking to do these things because you don't want to try to do something you don't do well. You know, because when you showcase something that's not right or not, you know, altogether, then the community looks at it and goes, ah, there's not, no, you know, all things like that are bad. So the best way is to partner with others. So find people that, and sort of staff to your weakness. So if you're doing, say, a youth event and you need information about how to do a youth ministry or youth outreach, find a youth evangelist and partner with them. and team up with them and bring them in, explain what you want to do, have them under authority, you know, all those kind of things, but work with them. Like his son-in-law is the most awesome youth communicator there is right now, just about, and he is reaching young people, and he's doing where they were doing one huge festival for, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. Now they're doing 20 and 30 going down the road all across the nation. So it can be done. So partner with folks. In every city, there are people that help with staging. There's people that can help with action sports. There's people that can help with the music. But usually the best thing that we really do try to ask people, find a good evangelist that does festivals, trust them, get to know them, interface with them, and then work together, because that's the only way to do it. When I went to Matt City the very first time, it took us 2.5 years to get them to trust us and let us work with them in a festival. And even the week of the festival, they were voting whether or not they were going to let me share the gospel or not. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So it takes a long time sometimes to get this done.
I would add that one of your great resources is NGA. Not to overload us, but they know lots of people have done lots of things. And just in our own experience, I'm like, why am I involved? I've had past experience. Why am I involved in the operations side of the festival? I need to find somebody that can do that. We outsource that, or the production, or maybe even bands. We used to spend a lot of our time. I'm like, why are we doing all these writers and making these offers back and forth to bands? That's not our world. We're evangelists. So you find somebody that can do that, and it's well worth it to just pay them for the service. Somebody that you know that's a Christian brother, that's their gifting. So,
yeah. Like I had another evangelist call me 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago, excuse me, and say, my father-in-law wants to do a festival, and I don't do festivals. Will you come do it? I was shocked. This NGA network is fantastic. We trust each other. We love each other. And we go down the road together. Every project that he does or that I do or others or Tim, we're all working together to try to get the gospel. It's not about whose picture's on the poster. It's not about whose ministry logo's down there. It's about what job needs to get done. And so what we try to do, all of us, is we try to bring those resources to bear on any outreach project that we're working on. So whatever you guys need, we would love to try to help.
Great question over here. Well, and that's a good point. Going to City Hall and meeting with them and finding but also the McDonald's she mentioned, a lot of them are Christians, and they'll give lots of things. In-kind is the biggest thing that you'll get from businesses, in-kind donations rather than money. Sometimes they'll just give you, okay, we'll supply the lunch, or we'll supply the dinner, or we'll supply the whatever it is, golf carts or porta potties for your event, you know. Any more?
Okay.
Because you're going to get both ends of the extreme here.
Yes.
Average cost of a festival is this question.
Average cost. Anywhere from a couple thousand dollars all the way up to $1 million. It really depends.
$2 million.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
That's true. Because you can do it. You can do it. We did a deal together up in West Virginia, and it cost about $2,500 because all the churches came together. They owned the building we were in, and that's all they could do. That's all they wanted to do. They put up posters around town, and the whole town came, you know. But in some cities, $2,500, you couldn't even rent a hall. So it's your network. And, for example, when we do outreaches in some neighborhoods where the church can only fund maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth, then what we do is we have people, musicians, action sports people, who believe in the mission that we're going to do. If we're not taking up offerings or if we're not selling tickets or whatever, and the church is doing a real outreach, they may say, I want to be a part of that vision. We want to help as a mission. So we have some artists that will say, even though I normally get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, for a concert, I will do one event for your ministry where you think it's the most needy, where my kind of gifting can be used the most. So sometimes they volunteer and they'll come and do some of those things. But really, don't spend more money than you need to. One of my mentors told me, why'd you spend all this money? And I said, well, because we wanted to get all the people together. And he says, well, yeah, but just spend enough money to earn the right to be heard. You know, just do just enough, because you don't have to be the showiest thing ever, but you do need to do it with excellence.
Major market events, major cities, to do a major event like you go to some of the Palau events or Graham or any of the large ones, you're going to be looking at $1.5 million kind of events at that scale. Because when you're looking for production for 100,000 people, and you're looking at the affinity events, and you're looking at the operations, logistics, the marketing, that's just where that ends up. I would say, you know, and then we're doing smaller market things now. We just did in the middle of Nebraska a festival that cost $50,000. Now, that's hard cost for the festival. That was the bands, the motorcycle guys, the, you know, production, the whole thing. Obviously, we are not being honest with ourselves if we go, yeah, but we need to fund some of the staff. We need to get paid to do this. So are we raising our own support? Is someone else paying that? Don't get into the trap of feeling like you have to pay an exorbitant amount of money for some talent before you can do an event. We've been there, done that. I mean, right now we're in the middle of a festival they want us to do in North Dakota, and they want to get an NFL football star. Great if they've got a donor that specifically wants to pay the $50,000 to get that guy to come. Okay, but don't not do it because you can't get the major band or the major speaker. Make it more about the event. Let it become organic, and God will use the event. So.
Because most lost people don't know Christian celebrities.
They never heard of them.
Never heard of them. They don't draw. They get the church to come, but if the church is with the mission, if they see it as a mission that they need to go help win their friends, they will be there. So don't spend too much money. Yeah, you, the second we say amen, watch out for Alan and I. We're going to tackle you.
All right, hey, we have to close because our timer is counting down. And of course, when I speak at festivals, I don't pay attention to those. But Heather's giving me the look. I need to pay attention to the timing here. We're so grateful you guys came. I just close with this. We talked about on the way in, you know, application. You know, Years ago, I had a guy apply for a job with me. He had a master's degree. This was when I owned a business. Great. I said, oh, you got the master's degree. You know me. I'm more interested in your life experience. And, you know, and he couldn't fill out a deposit slip, and he really couldn't sell. At that time, he was in business. And I'm all for education. I'm completely for it. But we need to apply what we've learned. And my prayer is that when we leave here, we actually apply it, and we actually share Jesus with someone. So let's leave here saying we vow to share Jesus with someone in our community. This is me. This is convicting me. In my neighborhood, wherever we go, God's going to put somebody in your place. And we do pray that God also gives you a heart, a vision for your city, your community, your city, your schools, and beyond. Because this nation, this world desperately needs Jesus. And now is our chance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.